Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Chris Cameron, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltema, and our guest this week, Ted Amston. Ted, you've been working on three books during the past few years. Tell us about the second one. The title intrigues me so much, Sitting by the Trent, Sipping My Timmies. You've said that this is a collection of observations. How do you define observations? Small poems, short personal essays, or comments on life? Was the collection made over a long period, and what inspired it?
The idea came in England a couple of years ago. I wanted a book that I could easily jump into and out of while riding on the tube. I picked up a little book by Yoshido Kenko, a Japanese poet written around 1300, called A Cup of Sake Beneath the Cherry Trees. It too has anecdotes, reflections, and observations. Kenko addresses both service and interior life without rambling into the weeds. The format's a good fit for the modern mind that switches between distraction and immersion. So the man's writing gave me frequent brain smiles, and so I thought it was a good fit for myself. It allows me to express, brief views on many subjects, such as small town parades, eating strawberries, the secret of a good photographic portrait, geese, arguing couples. The list is quite varied and goes on and on. I felt it needed a balancing element, a counterpart between the ironic aesthetic, which I sort of put throughout. So I present the view of a motorcyclist and his observation, sort of a non-ironic viewpoint. So that said, the book's not for motorcyclists. It's, if anything, it's written for people.
It's funny, it made me think of Robert Pirsig and Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance when I first read the description of it. But it's obviously more of an observation from you as you actually are sitting beside the Trent.
Absolutely. A lot of this book was actually written up there in Campbellford, sitting beside the Trent, because it's a very lovely, the canal there that's been engineered to bypass the rapids, I find very pleasant and inspiring.
I agree with you, as an aside. I just happen to live right down the river from that.
Do you?
We're just over the other side of the dam.
Okay. So that you know exactly what it's like there.
Would you like to read us a bit from Sitting by the Trent, Sipping My Timmies?
I will read four very short little thoughts, and then a little longer one about when I stopped my motorcycle in Harwood to take a drink of water from the artisan well. This morning, I slowly ate 10 strawberries that were left on the fridge by whoever I was yesterday. They seemed to taste better. No strawberry claims to be perfect. We do that on its behalf, and only after we have destroyed its perfection with a bite. I prefer to do something now as opposed to later. That's the reason I write so many lists. They give me the appearance of doing something. The best conversationalists can talk endlessly about themselves and their projects, yet they will suddenly turn to ask a question, the answer to which you've been secretly wishing to express in public. However, the questions of a friend, who might be a good conversationalist, cannot be trusted. They know your excuses too well. Is it more prudent to express one's thoughts in private, to the cat, or to the walls in the bedroom, and so save the world the embarrassment of experiencing your ignorance, or expose them in full view of social media? This apparently is not one of the questions of our time. On hot summer days, I stop at a little village north of my town where an artisan well surfaces. Cold filtered water runs day and night from a faucet located in front of a one-room community center. It's a moment when the ritual of riding coincides with one of life's simple pleasures. I get off the bike, remove my gloves and helmet, open my jacket, and then walk several stops to the eternally running faucet. Anticipating the taste of the water, I bend my body slowly, watch my hands come together, cup them, then reach out. The quickly moving water can splash itself out of my hands if I put them directly underneath, so I move them a little to the side of the flow. Cool, clear bounty from the depths of the county that I love fills my hands to overflowing. What is a curved palm full of liquid when first lifted is only a mouthful when it gets to my lips, most having escaped through the spaces between my fingers. How little I can grasp, how easily it passes through my fingers, but how good it tastes.
Thanks so much, Ted. You've made us thirsty here in the studio. I wanted to talk about your third book now, which is a novel. It sounds very exciting and very complicated. Could you tell us a little about the book? First of all, I guess the title, Last of the Red Hot Egos,
is challenging, I hope. The ego is not necessarily in everybody's best best books these days, whereas I'm a big proponent of Eagle. This is a story about a photojournalist. I continue to mine that area of my life, who has a habit of pissing off people. A few psychosomatic incidents occur to him during his work week that cause him to reopen the Pandora's box of his past, looking for answers. Along the way, he gets a good story about an incident in a cop shop involving a cleaner stabbed with a drug needle and her search for justice. This book is a vehicle to look at the boomer experience, which I am. The child rearing, the enthrallment with consumer consciousness, the slack moral code, the continuing self-serving indulgence, and especially the failure to acknowledge the profound shifts in consciousness that occurred during the peace and love days of taking psychedelics. There's also another theme in the book about living up to your youthful ambitions and keeping at them until you make them happen. It deals with failure and insecurities, sometimes crazy routes we take in life that can lead back to where we began, that allow us to make good on what we so long ago promised. And also there's a twist in the last chapter that hopefully sets this book in a different perspective and help make good my point about this cosmic adventure we're all living.
Well, that does sound exciting and complicated. So do you think you could read us a piece from Last of the Red Hot Eagles, Ted?
I'll just read the prologue here, which sets up. I've rewritten this prologue numerous times, and it's sort of like my little prayer I make before the book. In it, the person is standing beside a building on university campus. Free diving into the nameless, moving deeper without seeming to. The body, sensing its proximity to a solid structure, has locked a hand on the brick of a wall, lest the world stay away forever. Sights of the night, flickering, calling me back to the surface, are fading. Holding the breath of my question, I go deeper. This evening, I am of an age when finding my purpose is consuming me. A question I have shouted at the darkness repeatedly, what is my purpose, is on my mind. The surroundings, the two-story lecture hall, the burr of a nearby exhaust fan, distant city hum, late summer odor of leaves and soil, asphalt underfoot, night sky above, fade away as I sink. Given the pre-dawn hour, you might surmise just another stoner come to halt while stumbling along the ramparts of his consciousness, in no state of mind recognizable by those who walk with eyes open during the sleep of their lives. You would be right. I was on acid, and giving myself expansively to the darkness into which I was falling, my eyes no longer mesmerized by the million fractal leaves radiating the buzzy yellow of campus light. The black door didn't exist then. It had neither opened nor closed. I had not stood ragged-edged at a similar hour, imagining the dirt hole that I know is mine, that bug wrap wherein I will make a present of myself to the earth. My deliberations were in earnest that night. The universe was on notice. My previous dives into the darkness that falls off into eternity had been entertaining. I wanted more. I wanted a personalized response from whatever it is that controls all that is. I had not experienced the existential swish when the door opens, takes, then disappears in the closing, removing all that is physical, touchable, holdable, kissable, all that which puts great gulping emotional breath into the wildly pumping heart. No mystery was the game that night. I was convinced that I was ordained, that I was headed towards all I could be. I shouted out, "Hey, look at me!" I was not aware, then, about mystery, that it always delivers, leads where you never planned on going, guarantees excitement, but inevitably returns you to waiting for the door to open. It was all about me, as it has been for most of my life. The deal I struck that night, like the singing drunk who remembers only the opening chorus, I have been stuck at the beginning. But now, near the end of my life, I understand the sabotage itself is a human art. I speak as a bastard poet, a garage mystic. My sentences, my arrangements of thought at odd angles sustain me. I place my words on an unkept stretch of the burdened self, hopeful that they resonate. If they serve you, marvel upon their essence. Perhaps cart them to better purposes. There's no escaping the game, this cosmic game. And I need you. I need your attention. You give me that which I cannot give myself. You give me proof that I've become the man I was born to be.
Thanks so much, Ted. And thanks a lot for coming in and sharing your material with us and talking to us about your current writing projects. Now, do you have any plans in place to publish the material that you've just read to us?
I have ambitions, but I have no step-by-step. That is the next learning curve.
Uh-huh. So you're going to watch it unfold as it happens and
absolutely
do what you can.
And I may harangue you. I may need more readers.
Thanks again for coming in.
Pleasure. Most enjoyable.
To connect with us, please send your comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in this week. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.